farewells in the Bible. I was planning on just doing a couple more and turning the pulpit over to Pastor Bafour, but he asked me to keep going as long as I can, which I appreciate, so had to come up with a couple more farewells from the Bible. And Joseph and his coat of many colors, you know the story. And I preached on Joseph here, I don't remember, a few years ago. But I want to take a different approach today and give you his farewell message. And what I want you to remember is this. Joseph could have grown up bitter, angry, and resentful. But he realized God used the pits to accomplish his purposes for his glory. Did you get that?
Yes.
Joseph could have grown up bitter, angry, and resentful, but he realized God used the pits, the low spots, the difficult spots in his life to accomplish his purposes for his glory. That's why that song, Blessings, Laura Story, who wrote that song, her husband was battling cancer when she wrote that song. And sometimes we shake our fist at God when bad things happen. And as I look around this room, I know that some of you have been in the pits from time to time over these past 10 years that I've been here. Some of you are in the pit right now, I know. Some of you listening or watching, I might not know what you're going through, but life sometimes has a lot of low spots, a lot of dark spots, a lot of stresses and difficulty. But sometimes the raindrops are blessings in disguise. Sometimes the raindrops are blessings in disguise. Joseph was his father's pride and joy. Jacob loved Joseph probably above and beyond his other brothers. Not a good idea for parents to have favorites. But Joseph was his father's favorite. When you hear about his multicolored coat, the reason his brothers got so jealous was because that was the uniform of the chief of the tribe. And Joseph was number 11 among the brothers. You would not make number 11 the chieftain. You wouldn't even make number 2 the chieftain. It would be number 1. But after all, Jacob was number 2. Because God rejected Esau, number 1, and chose Jacob. God had rejected Ishmael and chose Isaac, Jacob's grandfather. So I guess it runs in the family. And I guess Jacob decided he'd outdo his father and his grandfather, and instead of go to number 2, go to number 11. And Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. Now, on top of that, I picture Joseph as this arrogant kind of show-off. And so if you know the story of Joseph, God gave him these dreams. And yes, they were from God. But maybe Joseph might have been a little bit wiser to keep those dreams to himself. Because one of his dreams, and Joseph not only had the dream, but he interpreted the dream for his brothers. And he said, listen, Reuben, listen, Simeon, listen, Gad, listen, Issachar, listen, Dan, listen, Naphtali, listen, Judah, listen, Levi. Leaving a few out there, that's all right. Well, Benjamin came later. Said, I have this dream, and I'll even interpret the dream for you. You guys are going to bow down to me. Now, if I told my two brothers and my two sisters that they were going to bow down to me, I don't think they'd plot to kill me, but they'd probably just laugh. And then Joseph has this other dream. And He says, not only did I see these 11 stars, I guess including Benjamin, but I saw the sun and the moon bow down to me. And Jacob, who loved Joseph more than the others, said, do you mean that your mother and I, probably meant his stepmother and I, Leah, you know, Joseph, you got a little bit, I don't mind you putting this on your brothers, but don't put this on me. And so, if you know the story of Joseph, his brothers were so irritated at him that some of them wanted to kill him. But Reuben, the oldest, said, no, no, let's just throw him in a pit. And Reuben was going to come back and rescue this teenager. I think he's about 17 years old when this happens. And so they throw Joseph in this pit. Reuben's not there. And these slave traders come along and they sell Joseph to these slave traders. And Joseph becomes a slave in Egypt. Reuben comes back thinking he's going to rescue him. The pit's empty. Go, what did you do with Joe? Oh, we sold him. Here's, you want your portion of the silver. Reuben, what am I going to tell Dad? I mean, he'll die of heartbreak. Joseph was his pride and joy. So they had his coat that Jacob had given him. They rip it up. They put some goat blood on it. They don't lie to their father, but they deceive him. And, hey, Dad, we found this coat with blood on it. What do you think happened to Joseph? Oh, no. A wild animal must have killed him. Fast forward. Joseph is 17. Joseph is a slave in the home of Potiphar. Potiphar would be the equivalent today of the head of the secret service. Potiphar's job was to oversee those who were the secret service guards for the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And we read my other message on Joseph that some of you might remember from a few years ago is that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And so Joseph distinguished himself as a slave. And in Genesis, we read that Potiphar trusted him with everything to run his whole household. But Potiphar had this wife who was a little lustful. And I guess Joseph was a strapping young man like the Brad Pitt of his day. Or the Roger Ebert of his company. Yeah, thanks for laughing, everybody. And Potiphar's wife said, Joe, come here. Potiphar's not here. You want to play? Joseph says, no, 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 no. Mrs. Potiphar gets a little ticked. They don't reject the woman of the house. And she grabs Joseph and says, you're coming with me, boy. And Joseph runs away and she's left holding his coat, his jacket. And she's so mad that she accuses Joseph of raping her. And Potiphar comes home and instead of getting the facts, he has Joseph go to prison. And Joseph spends 3 years in Egyptian prison. While he's there, there are two officials of the Pharaoh that Pharaoh got a little ticked off with and also threw into prison. One was his cupbearer, and the other was the royal baker. And so the cupbearer, he has a very important job because back in antiquity, people were always trying to kill the leader. So the cupbearer would always taste the wine before the Pharaoh did, and the Pharaoh would wait a few minutes and say, okay, the cupbearer ain't dead. I guess nobody tried to poison me today. But somehow the Pharaoh got a little irritated at the cupbearer, maybe didn't trust him, said, no, Pharaoh, why don't you have the wine first today? I don't know if that's what happened, but he threw the cupbearer into prison. The baker, I don't know what the baker did. Maybe he, you know, maybe the Pharaoh wanted chocolate croissants one day and he gave him a low fat blueberry muffin instead. And he's thrown into prison. And these two guys have dreams. And of course, Joseph, they say, we have these dreams, and we don't know what they mean. Now, in antiquity, everybody thought dreams had meanings. My nightmares have meanings. I'm not sure about my dreams. But Joseph says to the cupbearer, without going through the whole dream, you can read about it in Genesis, says, good news, cupbearer. In 3 days, Pharaoh is going to realize that you can be trusted, and he's going to restore you to your position. Remember me when you're back in Pharaoh's court. Sure enough, in 3 days, the cupbearer gets back, but he forgets his promise to help spring Joseph from the joint. Baker's getting really encouraged now. My dream's just as good. And Joseph says, I've got good news and bad news for you. Well, give me the good news first. I can interpret your dream. That's the good news. What's the bad news? In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to hang you. Have a good day. And sure enough, 3 days later, while the cupbearer is restored to his palace job, the baker is executed. Joseph is in prison for several more years because the cupbearer somehow forgot the promise. But Pharaoh has this dream. And Pharaoh brings his trusted advisors to him, including the cupbearer, and says, I've got this dream. I don't know what's going on here. I wish I knew what this dream meant. And then the cupbearer light bulb, or I guess an antiquity candle, I should write a book. Another book.
Yes.
Light bulb, candle. Oh, there's this guy in prison. And he interpreted the dream. Remember when the baker and I were in jail and the baker got and I got. Maybe you should call Joseph in. And so the Lord is with Joseph. And so they clean him up, you know, shaving a haircut. Yeah, I'm something to that. And Joseph says to the Pharaoh, Pharaoh tells him his dream and says, well, Pharaoh, I can interpret your dream. Here's what's going to happen. There are going to be 7 years of surplus in our economy. 7 years of surplus. We're going to have more than we can use. But that's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. The stock market's going to crash. Gas is going to go up to $5 a gallon. It's going to be awful. And he said, Pharaoh, what I would do is I would find someone you really, really trust and put him in charge of the economy. And what you need to do is during these 7 years of surplus, you need to put stuff aside for the 7 years of destitution. And the Pharaoh says, who should I put in charge? How about Joseph? I mean, he interpreted my dream. He seems to have this wisdom from a God we know nothing about. And Joseph is put as like second in command. People sometimes say prime minister of Egypt. I think he's more like the minister of the finance. But Pharaoh said, other than myself, anything Joseph says goes in Egypt. And sure enough, during the 7 years of surplus, they put things away. The 7 years of famine come along, and Joseph has filled the storehouses to last. Meanwhile, back in Canaan, where Jacob and his 11 brothers are, there's famine. And Jacob says to the older brothers, you know, I hear they've got something going on in Egypt. Somehow they've got food. Go to Egypt and take some silver with you and buy us some food so we don't starve to death here in the wilderness or in Canaan. And so 10 of the brothers go. 10? Yeah, 10 brothers go. And what do they do when they see Joseph, who looks like an Egyptian royal person? They bow before him. Ding, ding, ding. Dream come true for Joseph. He's probably going, and he recognizes him. Joseph recognizes him, but they don't recognize him. And Joseph goes, I told them they bow down to me. Now, this is after being a slave, being a prisoner, and now a minister of finance or a prime minister or second in charge of the Egyptian empire. And he gives them food, and before they leave, he puts the money they paid back in their packages. And then he stops them on the way back. And he's got this plot. Oh, Joseph, what a good guy. He says, you guys stole money from me. And he says, I'm going to throw you all in prison. No, 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 don't do this. Our father's back in Canaan, and we have a younger brother there. Our father lost his joy and pride. Joseph's going, yeah, thanks for you guys. And we have a younger brother. I don't know how the money got back in the bags there. We didn't take your money. Here, take it all back. Let us go home. And Joseph says, oh, so you have a younger brother? Now, this was Joseph's biological full brother. The other brothers are half brothers, concubines, children of concubine. I mean, they're very complex. It's like an antiquity soap opera. Let's say Jacob had four women, two wives, two concubines. It was very complex. And Joseph says, you know what? Now, Joseph would have loved his full brother Benjamin because Benjamin's mother, Rachel, died in childbirth after giving, and Benjamin and Joseph were like the pride and joy of Jacob. He says, listen, to prove you're telling the truth, you go back and get your brother, your younger brother, and you bring him to me, and then I'll know you're telling the truth. And I will keep Simeon with me to make sure you come back. And they go, all right, we'll go back, and they go back, and they tell Father Jacob, Dad, Simeon's in Egypt, and the minister wants us to bring Benjamin back to prove we're telling the truth because he thought we stole his money. He goes, there's no way you're going back with Benjamin. I lost Joseph. I'm not losing Benjamin. All right, Dad, well, Simeon's going to stay in prison. Oh, who cares about Simeon? But sure enough, they ran out of food. And Jacob says, listen, kids, we have no food. Go back to Egypt. Dad, we are not going back to Egypt without Benjamin. We're not going back without him. I'm not sending Benjamin with you. And Reuben says, listen, on the life of my own children, I will make sure Benjamin comes back. And so they zip back to Egypt. And Benjamin's there. Now, Joseph is not speaking Hebrew or Aramaic. He has an interpreter because he's going through this, I'm an Egyptian, and you guys are Hebrews. And so he speaks to an interpreter, and when he sees his younger brother Benjamin, now it's been years, it's been almost 20 years. And Joseph just has to leave the room because he's weeping. And so he says, I want all of you 11 brothers to have dinner with me. And he said, because Egyptians don't eat with Hebrews, you guys have a table over here, and I've got a table over here, and Joseph, they were amazed because Joseph had them seated in the chronological order that they were born. So Reuben and Simeon and Judah and so forth and so on, and then ending with Benjamin. And they're amazed. How did he know the order of our birth? And on top of that, when he gives the meal, Benjamin gets 7 times the helping. No diet for Benjamin that day. And they get their food, and Joseph sends them on their way, but he says, put their money back in their bags and put my silver goblet in Benjamin's bag. Benjamin, he's testing the brothers. They know that Benjamin's now the favorite. Would they give Benjamin up like they gave him up because of jealousy? And so they head their way, and Joseph has some soldiers follow them and say, wait a minute, one of you has stolen from my master. And they say, no, 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 we wouldn't do that. As a matter of fact, if you find that one of us has stolen from the master, you can put that one to death. So, okay, we won't put you all to death, we'll just put the one who stole. They go through bag number one. Well, money, we don't have that got there. Bag number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, Benjamin's bag. They open it up, and there is Joseph's silver goblet. Joseph claimed he used this goblet for divination. What are those eight balls?
Oh, yeah.
Not a good idea, but Joseph is doing a ruse. He's testing them. So they all go back, and they say, okay, Benjamin must be put to death. And no, Joseph, that this will kill our father. We'd rather you keep all of us. We'd rather you kill us, but you can't do this to Benjamin. And by then, Joseph says, enough is enough. He says, I am Joseph. I am your brother. By the way, they bowed down to Joseph, remember?
Yes.
He says, go back, get your father. I'm number two in Egypt here. I'm next in line and authority under the Pharaoh. Bring dad, bring the whole family, bring all the servants, bring all your sheep, your goats, your camels, and I'm going to give you the best land in Egypt to live. And they come back, and Jacob is over 100 years old now. And Jacob and the whole family bow down before Joseph. And Joseph said that God used all the pitfalls, all the raindrops, all the storms to accomplish his good purposes. Well, Jacob eventually dies. Joseph has two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And again, when Jacob blesses Joseph's two sons, Jacob stays true to form. And instead of putting Manasseh first, the oldest, he switches his hands and puts his left hand on Manasseh, the oldest of the two boys, and he puts his right hand, crosses it on Ephraim, and blesses number two. Some parents never learn. But God has his purposes. And after Joseph dies, after Jacob dies, Joseph's brothers are afraid of him. Now that dad is gone, Joseph will get even with us. But Joseph has a farewell address. When this is in Genesis chapter 50, last chapter of the book of Genesis. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. Now, I don't know whether the father left those instructions or they're just trying to get out of trouble. Because Joseph could say, now that dad is gone, I'm going to get back at you guys for everything you did to me. So he said, here are the instructions that good old dad, Jacob.